Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Neil here. I am delighted to be starting our new sermon series, Friendology, the Study of Friendships. Friendships, what are they? Are they necessary? Do we even desire them today? Are we happy with virtual friends? Is man an island unto himself, or are we actually created for more? Do we need each other? Friendology, the study of friends. You know, a recent survey that I read said this, that the average person will have one true friend in life. I don't know if that's actually true or not. That's just what the study says. That, not referring to your co-workers or your family. It's referring to one person that you can rely on, that you can be real with, that if you're in trouble, you can call upon, that you can share your joys, you can share your lows, someone you can depend on, someone that will always be there. I personally believe that most of us have more than one true friend. And yet, society is so interesting today, isn't it? There's more opportunity to be globally connected, and yet there's more division than I've ever seen. I've never known a time like this. Think about it, social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, you know, we can connect all over the place, and yet it seems that we're more disconnected than ever before. People are lonely. People feel isolated. People feel that no one really cares. And that's why I believe that this study is so important today. Do you know that actually friendships can affect our outlook on life? A 75-year-long Harvard study says this, that it's not wealth, it's not working hard, it's not fame that's going to bring happiness. Hey, we probably knew this. It's actually having a positive relationship with other people. In fact, social rejection activates the same part of our brain as does physical pain. Think about that. That's why we're doing this series called Friendology. I don't know about you, but I remember growing up watching that sitcom called Friends. How many of you watched that? You know, these six young adults as they're navigating their way through life, as they're facing the challenges that it brings, as they gather in the coffee shop, the communal place to be. And as we would watch or tune in each week, we would see the different things that they were dealing with. And I know it was a comedy, but so many of us could actually relate to that. What a great title, Friends. In fact, actually, it had an effect on the Rachel haircut that some of the ladies had, or what about some of the catchphrases? And do you know that it's actually still rerun today? It was such a popular sitcom. In fact, 52.5 million people tuned in for the final episode. That's how popular it was. Duos and partnerships. Hey, come on, would you just work with me this morning? Let me see a name and see if you remember or you know the partner that goes alongside. And from Friends, of course, we have Joey and Chandler. You're right. Laurel and Hardy, Romeo and Juliet, Woody and Buzz. That's from Toy Story right there. In fact, I love the Woody and Buzz Toy Story one because there's a great song, and listen to the lines from that. You've got a friend in me, you've got a friend in me. If you've got troubles, I've got them too. There isn't anything I wouldn't do for you. We stick together and see it through because you've got a friend in me. Hey, but come on, what does the Bible actually say about friendships? And what does it mean for us as a local church? Because friendship and relationship is a major theme that runs all throughout the scriptures. Way back in Genesis, we know that God created man to have fellowship with Him, fellowship with God, and fellowship with each other. How incredible that the Creator of this universe, that He desired to have fellowship with us. But He also created us that we would want community and desire fellowship with one another. That's why God said it's not good for man to be alone, and He created a helpmate for man. Of course, that was woman. That's what makes us different from plants, from trees, from mountains. You don't ever think of a mountain looking for friendship or desiring a company. But that's what makes us different. We are created that we would engage in fellowship with one another. That's why it's always dangerous when people want to be on their own. Now, I appreciate alone time is good. But ultimately, we need to be around people to be the best that we can be. We flourish best when we live in community. That's why community is so important. In Genesis 3, the Bible tells us that God would come down in the cool of the garden and walk and talk with Adam and Eve. That must have been absolutely incredible. I can't even begin to imagine what they talked about or what they discussed. Relationship and friendship. But then we know when we read that chapter that because of sin, the man tried to hide himself from God. But then God immediately said, wait a minute, now we have got to reconcile. Something has got to happen. That's why God promised that through the seed of the woman that a Savior was going to come. His name was Jesus Christ. So when Adam and Eve, when they sinned, when they fell and rebelled, the first thing that God did was this. He says, I am going to make a way that friendship and relationship can be brought back together again. And I tell you, there's a very important lesson in that. And this promise of friendship is played out throughout the Bible. In Genesis 9, we read about Abraham, that he was called a friend of God. In Exodus 33, we read about Moses, that God would come and speak to him face to face. Listen to this. Just like a friend. How beautiful is that? David was known as a man after God's own heart. When you read the Psalms, what great expression of an intimate relationship between God the Creator and David the created. You know, what I notice from this is actually you can have relationship without friendship. But all through Scripture, we see that God didn't only look for relationship. He desired a friendship. That's why when Jesus came in the New Testament, how did they refer to him? They said, he's a friend of sinners. In other words, he hangs out. This was the religious leaders that were actually mocking him. They were saying he hangs out with the wrong crowd. He hangs out with tax collectors and sinners, the marginalized in society. He's a friend of sinners. What a beautiful title. Why? Because when Jesus came, he was letting us know exactly what God stated in Genesis 3 in the garden, that they were looking for God, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Their desire was fellowship with God and fellowship with each other. Jesus, what did he do? He chose 12 disciples that they may be with him. Now, if Jesus desired friends, surely we see that we need that friendship and companionship. In the book of Acts, we read of the friendship between the Holy Spirit and the church. The book of Acts is more than just telling us of how the church started. Read the book of Acts. It helps us to understand that we have been given another comforter, Jesus referred to him, the Holy Spirit, one who will guide us, direct us, be there for us, never leave us, never forsake us. And even in the book of Revelation, we read about that great gathering on that day. Oh, what a day that's going to be. And there's going to be that great meal when heaven is going to sit down with friends. So from Genesis all the way to Revelation, from the beginning to the end, we see that the Bible is a book about friendships, and that's why friendology is so important. But come with me, please, to Luke chapter 10, because here Jesus told this incredible parable to help us get an understanding of what it means to reach out to others. This is known as the parable of the Good Samaritan. I think most of you will be very familiar with this. We read from Luke chapter 10. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Here, this religious leader, he's looking for a loophole. He's looking for the get out of jail card. So he says to Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus said very clearly, "Love God, love your neighbor." It's so important for every one of us. If we love God, then we have a responsibility to love our neighbor. It goes hand in hand. You can't have one without having the other. But this religious leader, he's looking for a loophole. He's trying to get out. So this is why Jesus told the great parable of the Good Samaritan, when he tells us that there was a man that was going from Jerusalem to Jericho. As he's going on that journey, robbers come, they strip him, they beat him, they leave him for dead. Then Jesus goes on to say this. A priest comes along. He looks, he sees him, and he passes by the other side. Then a Levite comes along. He looks, he sees him, and what does he do? He passes by on the other side. Jesus then says something incredible. He says, but a Samaritan comes along. Wait a minute. A Samaritan, Jews and Samaritan have no relationship with each other. They're opposed to each other. Jesus chose a Samaritan in this story to show who the good neighbor was. He says, a Samaritan came along. He says, when he saw that man, he didn't pass by on the other side. What did he do? He bound up his wounds. He put this man on his donkey. He took him to an inn. He looked after him and took care of him all that night. And then when he left, he actually left some money. He says, look, this is for his care. This is for his provision. And if it costs more than this, when I return, I'll pay what's ever required. Jesus was showing us who our neighbor was, but Jesus was also showing us what friendship looks like. You see, friendship is being available. The priest, the Levite, I don't know what their justification was. I don't know if they were busy. I don't know if they had plans. I don't know if they were on a schedule. I don't know if they had places to be. I don't know, but I do understand that both the priest and the Levite, these were people that were involved in temple worship. These were the ones you would have expected to reach out and make a difference. But they did not make themselves available. Actually, the absolute opposite. They tried to distance themselves from that situation. I've discovered this in friendship. It's not necessarily about how much you know. Sometimes it's just being there. Sometimes it's not about having all the answers. It's just the fact that someone knows that you're on the end of the phone, a text message, a WhatsApp. I know we're busy. I know there's lots happening in all our worlds, but can I encourage you that as we look at this study of friendship, that one of the things that we must intentionally do is make ourselves available to our friends. You never know how people are hurting right now, what people are going through right now, the challenges that people are dealing with, the health issues, the mental health issues, the family issues, the despondency. I know because I've taken many telephone calls and I've reached out to a lot of my personal friends, and outwardly, everything looks fine. But inwardly, some folks are struggling right now. And can I encourage you, in the busyness of life, as we go deeper into this study, maybe we just simply need to make ourselves available. You know, when you read about Jesus, we often see that it would appear that he was interrupted as he was going different places. But Jesus wasn't so focused on going from A to B that he was not able to respond to the needs that were all around him. And maybe some of us are so focused right now. One of the challenges I have, especially some of you know, I love to go out walking. And when I go out walking, I am so focused. You know, the danger is that you could almost pass me by and I don't notice you. And I'm really challenging myself. God, especially when it comes to the area of my friends, open my eyes to see and my ears to hear sometimes what is not seen and what is not heard. Because I want to be available, because I want to be a true friend. But friendship is not only about being available. Church, friendship is having compassion. Notice this, that the Samaritan responded without any sense of judgment. He knew that there was no relationship between the Jews and the Samaritans. He knew that his kindness might not be reciprocated. And nevertheless, when he saw the state that man was in, there was something within him that had to do something. He binds his wounds. He puts him on his donkey. He brings him to the inn and he takes care of him. He even leaves money for his care. Do you know that you can have compassion and yet do nothing? Yet true compassion should lead to action. How many times have you said to somebody, you know what? I'll pray. I'll really pray for you. I'll pray about it. And I really think we should do it. But can I encourage you? Maybe we should pray to God and talk to the person. Did you get that? Pray to God, yes. Only God can change the situation. But maybe someone wants just to hear us, that we actually are aware of their situation, that we're there with them. You see, a true friend is not only mountaintops, it's valleys. A true friend recognizes when someone is going through a difficult situation. In Matthew 9, we read about Jesus. Listen to this. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. What great words. He was moved with compassion for them. Why? Because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. That's why the great miracle when we read about the loaves and the bread, when Jesus multiplied that simple lunch to feed a multitude of 5,000. Why did Jesus do that? When he saw them, he knew that the crowd, they were weary, they were tired, and they were hungry. He knew that he had to respond when he saw that there was a need. And can I encourage you? Maybe some of us, we just need to be more compassionate. Maybe we're too quick to judge situations. Maybe we're too quick to point the finger. Maybe we're too quick to say, well, you got yourself in the mess, you get yourself out of the mess. And maybe we need to ask Jesus to, by his Holy Spirit, that we would be moved with compassion, that we would respond not just out of, well, I guess I need to help, but actually we want to do something because we want to be a true friend. Then the other thing I notice about this friendship is this, that friendship is meeting people where they are. Notice, where did the Samaritan find the man? At the roadside, beaten, stripped naked, in trouble, wounded. Truth of the matter is, he was in a mess and he couldn't do anything about it. He was actually in a situation which was not of his own doing. But the good Samaritan, he didn't say, well, wait a minute, you know, Once you're fixed, once you're cleaned up, once you've got everything together, then I'll respond to your need. He met the man where he was. And that's what good friends do. You know, notice about Jesus. He meets a man by a pool. He sees someone by the roadside, a beggar. He sees a woman at a well. He met people where they were. For the priest and the Levite, perhaps the reason they didn't want to get involved was quite simple, that they reckoned that they would be unclean if they went next to this man that was wounded. If perhaps he was dead, they would then be unclean. Maybe they didn't want it to affect the next stage in their journey. No, easier for them just to pass by. But that's not what God does. Jesus says to us, we've got to love people the way he loved us. And this is what I notice about Jesus. And this is why I can truly say he's a friend of sinners. That he met people where they were. And he brought them to where they could be. He never judged. He never pointed fingers. He never looked down. In fact, he only had one purpose, to lift man up and reconcile man to God. And he displayed this by his actions, by his deeds, by his love, and by his friendship. My friend, John 15, 13, we read this as we pull this to a conclusion. Simple introduction today. Listen to this. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. And that's what Jesus did. He calls us friends, and God the Father sent Jesus the Son from heaven to earth. Why did he come? To reconcile and restore relationship and friendship. And that's the good news for all of us today. Perhaps you're listening to my voice. You've never entered into a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you're cold in heart. Maybe your life is not right before God. Even when I use that term, friend of God, you're hiding in the shadows. And yet by the power of the Holy Spirit, God is calling us all into a relationship with him. And I would want to encourage you today. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I said it earlier, from Genesis to Revelation, from the beginning to the end, it is a love story between heaven and earth, God and man. God wants to be your friend, your Savior, and your Lord. And if you've never entered into that relationship, it's very simple, my friend. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, he's faithful. He will forgive us of our sins. Jesus bridged that gap that sin has broken. The Savior came to bridge that gap so that we would enter into the fullness of relationship. So would you respond to Jesus? Would this be the Sunday when everything changes for you? Would this be the day that you move from being distant to coming into relationship? I want to pray with you right now. Would you come into agreement with me? Dear Father, I pray right now for those that are listening to my voice, those that feel isolated, those that feel alone, those that feel marginalized, that they would know the power of your love in Jesus' name. And if you, my friend, would like to ask Christ to come into your heart, just repeat simply after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I acknowledge I'm a sinner. I know that you're my Savior. Come into my heart. Become my Lord. Be my Savior and my best friend. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that, here's the good news. You are a friend of God. Jesus declared, I no longer call you slaves, but I call you friends.